Medford and Kathy Groover on Fire and Earth, giving you the keys to unlock your limitless potential.
Welcome to another edition of the Fire and Earth podcast. I'm your co-host, Jason Mefford.
And I'm Kathy Groover, and we are so happy to welcome you back, and welcome if this is your first time joining us in. We're going to talk about something I believe is vastly important, and we have mentioned in multiple other shows, and that is values. Values.
Well, and I think, Kathy, like you said, we've mentioned it, and it's kind of been a little tangent to a lot of the things that we were talking about. So just like productivity, you can only know how to be the most productive if you understand what your values actually are. And you try to get that alignment in, you know, living those values, and that's going to end up translating into things like productivity, right? Or a lot of different things from relationship or other stuff like that. So yeah, I'm kind of excited. We've both gone through an exercise, and one of the things that you'll be able to download from the show notes is an exercise that both of us actually went through. And so maybe we'll kind of explain what that is and then maybe kind of talk about it, or how we're going to get going. I don't know. It's unscripted. So here we go, right?
It's also raw. So we're going to, you know. Say nasty things to you. But it's interesting. And I was actually going to tell you how I found this exercise. So when my husband and I were in the process of separating, and I was talking to a friend of mine who's a therapist, and she was kind enough to not only be one of my best friends, but also give me a little bit of therapy advice too. Not crossing the line too much, but she would give me advice when I would ask. And she recommended that one of the things we did was this values exercise. And so she referred me to this site, which is what we'll put in the show notes. And I downloaded all these lovely little pieces of paper. And because I'm a visual kinesthetic, I had fun cutting these out and spreading them out all over my floor. And I came up with my three values. And she said, okay, well, now you should have your husband do this as well. And I said, yeah, but we're not going to have the same values. Does that mean that it's not going to work, or, you know, whatever the thing is? And she says, no. This is not about you each having the exact same values, because that's probably not going to happen out of the list of what were there, 80 different values.
She said,
what it's about is recognizing each other's values and respecting each other's values. So if one of my values in relationship, and it actually is fun and adventure, then them knowing that and respecting that is something that when we make decisions together, we can keep each other's values in mind. And this is why she had us distill it down to only three, because yeah, you probably have 10, 15, 20, but you can't hold 10, 15, 20 values, especially in relationship. So it was sort of interesting. I sat down, I did this exercise, and he did it as well. And we talked about it, and it was really enlightening, because we had not divergent values, but ones that barely made it on my radar were ones that were important to him. So it was really like, oh, interesting. And so you get to see when moving forward in relation, what you each value and how that's going to build your relationship. And you can do the same thing in business too.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those too, you know, where, like you said, if fun and adventure is a big value for you, but you're with somebody who just doesn't want to do anything fun or adventurous, obviously that's going to be a bone of contention in the relationship. And so again, you know, either the other person has to realize, hey, I have to have fun and be adventurous sometimes to help Kathy get what she needs, or else the relationship ain't going to work. Right. And so just understanding that, and like you said, being able to kind of play off of each other and realize what's most important to you. And as, you know, the other person in the relationship, can I help provide that to you?
Right.
Or how do we compromise around that?
I was just going to say, or it's not that that person has to go do fun and adventure, but when I say, hey, I'm going to take a weekend and go do trapeze and scuba diving and zip lining, and you're not into that, you have to have the ability to go, that's one of your things, totally go do that with a friend. You know, so it comes down to that compromise as well, which you just mentioned. So,
Yep.
All right, well, that's the show.
There we go. All right, we're done.
Just compromise.
Well, we probably should explain to people how we did this, and maybe share like what ours were, right? So yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes for you to be able to download this. But effectively, I think it's about 90 different values. And so these are just different words, and there's kind of a description underneath each one of them.
Yep.
And there's three of the cards that are on there. So there's one that's, oh, there you go. You got them too, right? Yeah. So we've got, so what you do.
Most awkward thing ever. What am I doing? Right foot blue.
What you do is you print them off, cut them out, and they end up in these little slips of paper.
Yeah.
And so there's three different things: very important mm-hmm. to me, or not important to me. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that you do, and don't try to overthink this as well. So the first round, you just set them out on the table and you set those three different categories out and you go through all 90 of these slips and just put them in the different categories. Something that's not really important, it's important, it's very important. Mm-hmm. Go through the whole deck and then take off all those that were important or not important. Take the pile that you have left of very important mm-hmm. and do the same thing again. Try to separate them into which of these are most important to me. Do that again the second time, and you're going to end up now with a much smaller list. So again, wipe off the important, very important, and now you're left with maybe 15 or 20. I think I probably had mm-hmm. something like that, somewhere between 10 and 20 that I had. And then you just kind of line them out on the table and again, start looking at them. Which words, right, jump out at you? Or can you know, what I would do is actually take some of the different ones that were similar.
Yeah.
Right. And put them and kind of lump them together and say, okay, you know, self-esteem. And I think there was another one called self-worth. And there was another one that was similar. And so you kind of put those together and say, which one of those words do I like the best?
Right.
Right. And you start wiping them off until you get down to three. Now, why three?
Three.
Yeah, which is hard, right? So I did this last night and I ended up having six. And I was like, okay, my brain shot. I'm just going to have to, you know, figure this out in the morning and come up with, you know, take those six down to three. And there's some reasons for it, right? Like you said, you can't hold space for 10, 15 things. It's hard to remember. So one thing about human learning, we like to learn in groups or what some people call chunks.
Chunks.
And so a normal chunk, right? Chunks brings up all
chunk
these
funny.
Chunks. Funny? Chunks is a funny word, right? Chunks are coming up. Chunks are in.
You're talking about puke? It's a little early in the morning to be talking about puke. We don't know when people are watching this. It could be right after lunch. You could have some very sensitive people whose value is not puking, who don't really want to hear about chunks right now.
Yeah, just that word reminds me of an experience I had before that's funny anyway.
okay.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, so you chunk it down because as humans, we learn best in chunks of 3 to 5.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're gonna get every time we say chunks. Okay.
It's so, a drinking so game. Oh, play the chunks drinking game.
Go, right? So as an example, right, if you look at telephone numbers in the U.S., 10-digit number, how do you remember a 10-digit number? A 3, and a 4. Because most of the time we can remember things in 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. If you get more than 5, it's hard to remember. And 3 and 4 is a good number. So again, it doesn't mean that these are the only things that you value, but these are the things that you try to think about every day. So I did a different... It was similar, but a different experience with some different words. Mm-hmm. And so I came down with kind of 2 overarching values that were important to me in my life and 3 things that I needed to do every day to be working towards accomplishing or having those values show up in my life all the time.
Yes.
And so that's what you can do with this. You cut them out, you go through the sorting exercise and try to bring them down to 3.
Yeah. That's really cool. And it's interesting because I know when we were talking off the air, you said that you sort of looked at it as for your life, where I, as a compartmentalizing Capricorn, compartmentalize it even more. I did one on relationship way back with my husband. Then after we actually did split, I did it again because I realized now that I'm looking for new relation, my values sort of changed. Things that I learned from that previous relationship affected what I wanted moving forward, which, you know, we should learn and grow. So our values change. And then the one I did a couple of days ago in prep for this episode was specifically my speaking. Mm-hmm. Because I think my values going in with massage and that type of hands-on work that I do are different than me moving forward as a speaker. So I almost have, I mean, there's a lot of crossover, but they're slightly different depending on which hat I'm wearing. So I thought that was kind of interesting too. It's like, there's definitely some like I said, crossover, mm-hmm. but for the most part, they're a little bit different.
Well, and it brings up, I think, you know, what you just said there, two important points for people to remember as you're doing this. First one, as we age or at different times in our life, we may place more emphasis or more value on certain values, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the stage of life that we happen to be in. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you value something slightly different now than you did when you were 20, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean you're unethical. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, wishy-washy or any bullshit like that.
Right.
It just means over time and at different points in our life, there's different things that we're going to value more because we need that to get us to where we want to be. Right. Right. So that's kind of the one thing. And the other one is, again, you could do this exercise in lots of different ways. You can think about it as, you know, hey, my relationship with my significant other, mm-hmm. my relationship with my kids, my business, my life in general. Yeah. And so there's no right or wrong way to do this, mm-hmm. right? And there's no right or wrong, oh, you should have this as your particular values either, because everybody's different and that's okay. And like I said, at different points in your life, you may come up with different things. And so this is also a good tool for you to be able to have to do this at different points in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I recommend that you all do this. I mean, it's really helpful to know. And it's interesting. I just got a call to keynote a big conference and they sent me all the info about the organization. I mean, like pages and pages and pages. And when we do the onboarding interview on Thursday, they're going to decide whether they want me to do the keynote or whether they want me to just do a bunch of breakouts. And I was reading through their info, which is one, so well put together. But one of the first things it says in this packet of stuff about this organization is what their values are mm-hmm. and how they meet those values. So I now know what this organization stands for. So I can go into this meeting on Thursday, informed and well-armed to say, look, you value interconnectedness and relationships. This is how what I do leads to that. So it informs you about how you can move forward, not only with yourself, but with other organizations and other people. We should get little signs and have to wear our values around so that we know who we're interacting with. That could be our Facebook profile. My name's Kathy and I value blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, because it gives us such a huge hint as to who we are. And you might be surprised at what comes up for you when you do this exercise, because there's a lot of really different words, you know. So, yeah. So, all right, Jason, what are your values?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, before we get into that, we got to hold people out, right? Come on, they got to be with us a little bit longer. But the interesting thing I think that you just brought up too was, you know, at the beginning we said that values are kind of, you know, tangent to a lot of the things that we're talking about, mm-hmm. have an intersection with it. And so exactly what you're talking about with that organization is, now that you understand what they value, that makes it easier for you to communicate mm-hmm. with them and to yes. provide or develop and establish that relationship with them as well, mm-hmm. knowing what you value, knowing what they value, and how combined those things can actually help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I'm glad they sent me that stuff. And the woman was very clear. She's like, look, we're going to ask you what about, you know, she basically said, you better read this shit because we're going to ask you about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I want to know the companies that I'm going into. Mm-hmm. I want to know what they value. And the other thing that I realized in this is they are very, I don't want to say politically correct, but they are very, you know, we do not discriminate. We do not bully. They have all these protocols about that kind of thing. And in one of my signature stories, I use the word bitch. I can't use the word bitch in front of these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I can't. I just, even if they would be okay with it, in reading their values and what they talk about with their relationships and how they treat each other in this organization, I can't say the word bitch. It would come off completely wrong. So I realized, oh, okay, good thing to know going in, you know.
Yeah, you might have to use some other word. But what I think too, because actually as you were saying that, it reminded me of something that I was reading this week. And, you know, we do need to use the best words. And I know sometimes in the business situation, you know, work has become so sanitized and so politically correct that it's actually making it worse. And the story that I was reading, it was a leader who was trying to be authentic with their people and actually have a real conversation about what they were feeling. Mm-hmm. And so she was using the word alone or lonely Okay, which is a word that is a word that an emotion that most people kind of associate with. Yeah. Well, the organization was using the word disassociation. You know, and it's like if you go back to somebody and say, "Do you feel disassociated?" It's like, "What the hell is that?" No, I feel lonely.
Right? Yeah, and so disassociated
we try to politicize it and make it it's something that's just a benign word when what people really are feeling is lonely.
And right. So, well, and also disassociated. I mean, with a psychology background, disassociation is a very different concept than loneliness. Disassociation is separating yourself out and compartmentalizing yourself into something else,
right?
To avoid something. So, yeah, I don't. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Weird. Anyway. So, right. So, where do we go from here?
What are your values?
Oh well, how can I share unless you share, right?
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
All right. So in no particular order.
Okay.
The first one that I picked, so maybe I'll share one of first and then you can share.
Okay.
Was autonomy.
Oh.
Okay. And so the description for autonomy is to be self-determined and independent. And so, you know, for me that was is an important thing.
Uh-huh.
Why I don't know exactly, but it has been that there's this sense that I can take care of myself, mm-hmm. That I'm free, and autonomy kind of does that. Now, like we were talking about before, as you go through this exercise, you're going to find that you know. And so, to me, for example, you know, money was one of the things that was in there, right? Or wealth, I think, was the word that you used. Okay,
it made it for a while on mine.
Yeah, and it did on mine too. But then as I thought about it, it's the wealth provides me autonomy. And so for me, it's the feeling or the value of being autonomous that's more important than the wealth. The right. wealth is one way to help me be autonomous,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the only way.
Sure.
And so again, as you go through the exercise, you're going to start to see that there's certain things like that you can cluster together and figure out, you know, maybe what's the higher level thing. Maybe some of these other things help you achieve that. And so you can, that's also a way to help you kind of sort it down. Okay. So that was one I had. What you got?
I have, because again, I was going from the place of just my speaking stuff. So service.
Okay.
To be of service to others. Pretty self-explanatory. One of the things I really value when I do the motivational speaking and also all the other work that I do, the coaching and the neighborhood cat just came in. Hi, Alistair. He's going to want food in a second. So this is going to be interesting. I want to be of service to the cat. So no, the being of service of providing knowledge, providing information. That's why I got into every profession I'm in, is to be of service to other people and to help them grow and evolve and learn. So that was actually sort of an easy one for me. Now I certainly wouldn't pick that in relationship necessarily. But for a profession, for especially the speaking work that I do, I want to impart that information. So to be of service was definitely on my list.
Well, and it's interesting because as you say that though, I mean, because we're both speakers, we know lots of different speakers. And while it should be a no-brainer that you're there to serve the people that you're helping or working with, for a lot of people, that is not the case.
Yeah.
They are up on stage to show how great they are, how polished they are. It's an ego kind of thing. And so you can see too, if somebody, you know, really is more concerned about how they're perceived or their ego, they're going to show up a lot different than a speaker who is there to serve.
Yeah.
And so you will work and show up differently because you recognize that as your value.
Yeah. When I just did my second TEDx, and there was another speaker there who was probably the biggest bitch I've ever met. And this disappointed me because she's a well-known speaker. She gets tons of gigs. She gets paid a lot of money, and she's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody ever says, "Oh, do you know so-and-so?" it's going to be really hard for me to control what this face does to not be like, "Yeah, raging bitch." She was so rude to everybody. It was under the gut, like she was helping, but she was bitching about helping. So that wasn't, you know, And then I get off stage, and I don't think I told you this. On my way to my TEDx, in the car, I found out my dad died.
Oh, no.
So I
didn't realize
to get on
that was when you found out.
Yeah. So 2 hours later, I had to get on stage. I did it, compartmental, kick butt, thank you, got off stage, and lost my shit. And I fell into a heap, and unfortunately, I fell into a heap in this woman's arms. And whoever was closest just kind of grabbed me, and I started crying. And I kind of pulled it together, and everyone's like, oh my God, how did you do that talk? I can't believe you did that. I'm like, well, service, you do your thing. And I said, yeah, I'm going to have to cancel this gig I have for Monday. And she goes, I'll do it. And I said, I don't really know her. And she goes, well, I'll do it. And I said, okay, well, it's a talk on stress. Well, I talk about stress. I said, okay. She goes, how much does it pay? And I said, well, it actually doesn't pay. Oh, well, then I'm not doing it. Oh, will I get good video? And I said, I don't know, probably not. Oh, well, then I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
What?
So, no, I think that's a great example, right, of somebody who values something completely different than what you do.
Right.
And because of that, she shows up in a different way than you do, even though it's the same business. And so again, that's why going through an exercise like this is so important for people, I think, to do. Because, if she went through the exercise and service was one of her top ones, and she definitely ain't showing up in alignment with what she's supposed to be doing. So she would need to change.
Well, and to your point, I suppose I shouldn't be judgy that was her goal. I mean, she just has different values than me. Her values were clearly not simply being of service. They were the money and the video. I don't think video is a value, but you know, I mean, it just didn't align with my values. Yeah. So she's not really an asshole. To me, she is, because she has different values than me. So, all right, I have to reframe that.
All right.
Learning.
Okay. All right.
All right. The cat is going to eat me.
The cat is going to eat you. When you weren't prepared, you had the cat food right there too, right? So here we go. Another
animal.
We actually have an animal on camera.
Okay, buddy. You're going to have to wait till we're done with our values. There's food in your bowl. He's not my cat. He keeps showing up. Okay. Yeah. Value number two for you, Jason.
All right. My next one, contribution.
Oh.
So contribution is to make a lasting contribution in the world. And, it's in my own little way, I want to help change the world.
Yeah.
And so, some people might use the word legacy or other things like that, but, I want to accomplish big things, if you will, and change the world, make it a better place because I was here. But also realize that you don't have to, be somebody like Gandhi who impacted millions of people. Because your contribution can even be just impacting the few people that are around you.
Yep.
And in fact, contributing and impacting those direct people around you, that's how change is actually made.
Yeah.
Because as you affect or impact them, they go on to impact other people. And it's that whole ripple effect kind of in the water. So to me, yeah, contribution is important. I want to feel like before I kick out of this world, that I've done some good things and I've helped improve people's lives, which, hey, that's probably one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast, right?
Yep.
Because I want to help contribute and, help people live a better life, not be in fear so much, and actually really unlock their potential, take action.
Yes.
And do the things that they need to do to have a beautiful, wonderful life. So at the same, when they kick off, same sort of thing, right? People are going to say, wow, the world was such a better place because Kathy Groover was in that world sharing her message to thousands of people through speaking.
Yep. And that goes hand in hand with service. So we kind of have some crossover on that. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Slightly different word, but again, some of the stuff and that's again, like I was saying, as you go through this exercise, you're going to find that a lot of the words are kind of similar, but there'll be certain words that may resonate more with you.
Yep.
So that's the one you should pick.
Right, exactly. And to that point, I cheated.
You cheated? What, did you pull one out of the deck?
No, I've got two that were so similar, but they go hand in hand. So okay. My next is fun and humor.
Okay.
Because when I'm on stage, it's to play and have fun is what fun is. And humor is to see the humorous side of myself and the world. I'm playing on stage. I'm having fun on stage. I incorporate humor into all of my talks. So to me, that was really two things that just sort of were so interconnected. Because if I'm not having fun, I don't want to do the gig. And if I can't be funny, it's not fun for me, you know? So those two just kind of went hand in hand. And this also goes with relationship, fun, humor, adventure. I want to play in relationship as well. I want to, I'm just a big little kid. So I am. So, and this is why you and I have fun because, right. or we're so compatible. So yeah. So that was mine, fun and humor.
Interesting. So we got two for one on that one, huh? Oh man. Which means that I am left with my last one.
Okay.
Should we make him wait until the next episode? No, that would be cruel, wouldn't it?
Well, I say, because I've got mine. I've got my my last one as well.
Oh, because you put those together.
Because I put fun and humor together as one value.
You did kind of cheat then.
I did cheat. I'm sorry.
Okay. Shame on me. My last one for out of the three from this deck was genuineness. Is that yours too? No way. Okay, so to act in a manner that is true to who I am. So yep. That we actually, you know, we hit spot on one of them. And I hope people that are listening to this can feel that. We're just who we are and trying to show up and be who we are. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I know for me, I hate it when people are fake.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if maybe that was why it was so off-putting, you know, that experience you had with the other speaker.
That's true.
It is probably, again, because she's kind of wearing all that armor and trying to present herself in a certain way. And I get it, right? Because that's how you're taught that you're supposed to be a leader and you have power and you do all this stuff is because of the way that you act. But the reality is, and this is coming out in a lot of other work that's coming out too. And you see like the popularity of people like Brené Brown talking about vulnerability.
Yeah. It's
because people are tired of all the fake bullshit that's out there. And they just want people to be real and authentic and genuine, whatever word you use,
right.
Of actually, you know, show me who you are. Let me see who you really are, be who you really are. And then I can feel comfortable sharing and being who I really am.
Right.
As well.
You do you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is already taken. Oscar Wilde, right? Be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
And we talked about that when we did the mask episode, which was one of our second or third, was being that genuine person. Now I cheated again. genuineness was my last one, but my genuineness went with creativity. Creativity, to have new and original ideas. Because to me, part of being who I am is those ideas and those, you know, things. So yeah, I cheated again. But that's so funny that we had very similar ones.
Yeah, because we didn't plan this before. We didn't know what each other's three were. Until we got on here. So it's interesting. And actually you bring up an interesting point with the creativity and the genuineness, because I kind of see that or feel that in myself too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little different, right? What? I think when we talked to Phil, he said, you know, embrace your weirdness, right? And I am, I'm probably a little bit weird, but I think that's what helps me provide the value and the contribution to the world is I am a little bit different. And you know what? Other people are a little bit different too. And it's okay to be a little bit different. You know, I just, we went to, they have a Renaissance fair down here in the LA area. And so we went to the Ren fair, last Saturday or Sunday. Anyway, I love those places because it is just, it's an opportunity for people to show up and play and be this different person or not necessarily be a different person, but we get to express themselves without people judging.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just love to people watch and see people express themselves that way. You know, and the different costumes that people chose to show up in, you know, because again, when I think Renaissance fair, I'm thinking, you know, European Renaissance, you know, and so there's lots of, you know, corsets and big hoop skirt kind of things and everything. But, you know, there's also people showing up as fantasy characters, you know, like elves and, you know, other stuff. And there were even some, you know, kind of, I don't know, like Mad Max and the Thunderdome kind of sci-fi, like
cowboy, like steampunk kind of, sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, kind of thing. And, but it's a place, again, where everybody can show up and just be themselves.
Yeah.
And I think
I love that.
We need more spaces like that in everyday life. And so the more genuine, authentic, vulnerable people are, the more we're actually going to connect as human beings, because then we actually get to see who the other person is. And love them for being however different or quirky or weird or whatever word you want to use on it. So anyway. Yeah.
Well, and I'm so, I love the Renaissance Fair. I used to go every year. I have so many costumes, and it's because I have, because as a former actor, and Halloween is my favorite holiday. So, you know, I used to, I've got so many costumes. I have friends all the time. Do you have a blah, blah, blah? Do you have a this? Do you have a that? Of course I do. Somebody said, oh, it's a shame you don't have a tiara. I said, why would you think I don't have a tiara? Like, what would ever, have you met me? Why would in the world would you think I don't have some sort of crown that I can put on? But yeah, so it's interesting in doing this exercise, though, what I realized is when I'm on stage, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be quirky. I'm going to be weird. I'm going to be creative and funny. And if I'm not having fun doing it and I can't be of service, then I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what kind of what it got for me.
So yeah, so hopefully everybody that's listening, you can kind of see the value in this exercise. And that was pretty punny, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's not weird, huh?
But also how, you know, even coming down to those three, you can see how there's intersection usually between those three. And if you're seeing that as you go through the exercise, and guess what? You probably did it right.
Right. Well, because, there's no right. I mean,
well, okay, there's no right or wrong. You're right. But you're right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, okay. But you should be able to see some of the intersection in that and how those feed off of each other.
Absolutely.
And so now, again, as you show up, as you try to do things that, you know, support or are in alignment with those values, it's your life is just going to open up for you. Mm-hmm. Right. Because, again, like the genuineness. If that's something that we really value, which we do, because I know you, then for us to be that armored up, just perfect, prissy, whatever, prudish kind of person, how we're going to feel about ourselves is horrible because we are trying to pretend to be someone that we are not. And so, you know, that's why if you know that's one of your values, and embrace your weirdness and, you know, and go out there and do that.
And for me personally, since one of mine was fun and humor, if I am not being genuine, if I am not being myself, it's not fun for me. You know, so they all intermingle. So, well, I do encourage you all to do this. Down in the show notes, we have a link to where you can get all of these lovely cards. And I like this one because it, you know, because I found some that was like, you know, circle these, and that doesn't do it for me as much. I love like actually the physicality of putting them out on the table and choosing and putting them in piles, visual kinesthetic. So, you know, do what works for you. But I do encourage you to do this, not only in relationship. And I, when I do coaching and I do talk about relationships, I have recommended to so many couples to do this. And then also in business. I remember doing this at a small business association meeting probably 10 or 12 years ago. We were allowed to pick one. We had, they put them all out on the table, and we had to walk up to the table and within 5 seconds grab our most important value. And I picked humor. I did, because even, and that was more in the massage realm, but I still, I want to make my clients laugh. I want to bring my personality to that. And this is one of the reasons I never worked in a buttoned up spa, because that, yeah, Mr. Mefford, your table's ready. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do it. So yeah. Know what your values are, and that leads you to the next thing, whether it's a good relationship or better focus in your business. I recommend it.
And the more that you show up and are true to those values and have the alignment with it, the more the universe can open up to you, the better you'll feel about yourself, and you'll feel about the other people that are in your life as well. And you will develop stronger relationships.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what's so funny, ironic, haha funny kind of thing, is that sometimes people are afraid if they are who they really are, that people won't like them. But here's the reality. If you're really who you are, yeah, some people aren't going to enjoy you. But the people that do are going to freaking love you.
Right.
And that's really, those are the relationships that you want to have anyway. Mm-hmm. The other people that don't get you, you know, let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go.
And it is really none of our business what anybody thinks about us.
Yep.
Really isn't. So go live your values, be genuine and true to yourself. Go have fun. Go change the world.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Go.
So go out, do the exercise, download it, print them off, and actually then start trying to live your life in accordance with those values. Mm-hmm. And while you're doing that, we're going to be recording another episode. So Woo-hoo. We can see you on a future episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast.
Yay. I'm Kathy Gruver. I can be reached at kathygruver.com.
And I'm Jason Mefford. I can be reached at jasonmefford.com. So go out and we'll see you on a future episode. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care.
Bye.